This morning, I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 in Genesis chapter 1, then also Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which you can find on page 3 in your pew Bibles, and then also stick your finger in John 3:3, which is found on page 1649 in your pew Bibles. And we will go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to read God's Word together. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you in prayer this morning hour, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us instructions on how we are to carry out and live our lives, that we have heard from you how great your love is for us, and that every day we can pick up your word and we can fill our hearts and minds with truth. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now turning to verse 7 of chapter 2. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And now turning to John 3, verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. How do you feel about people? Think about that for a moment. How do you feel about people? What is your impression of other people? Generally, do you trust people the moment that you meet them, or are you somebody that a person has to earn your trust? What stands out to you more about an individual when you first meet them? Their flaws or their successes, their good points? I ask these questions because I want us to think about honestly, how we view others, how we see them, how we interact them with them each and every day in general. I want us to think about how we view people, because the fact is people are kind of all over the spectrum when it comes to interacting with others. There is what I would term people consumers and people avoiders in society and everywhere in between. A people consumer is somebody that has that meets people and talks to people, and they've never met a person they don't like and they can't talk to. They just like to chat. They like to be around people. People avoiders, the other pole, are people that just as soon be by themselves. They don't want to be around other people. In fact, being around other people is an incredible chore for them. And they just as soon live life on their own. And like I said, not very many people are on the poles. Most of us are somewhere in between. But how do we engage people? Do we know? Think about how you engage other people each and every day. How do you feel about people? So I'm going to put a couple of people on the spot this morning, and there's no wrong answer to this, but this is just going to be a little bit of fun. So if you're in the middle of the pews, I guess I can't reach you, so you're lucky. But I want you to answer this simple question. And like I said, there's no wrong answer, so don't get worked up. People are, you fill in the blank. Anne Marie, you're my guinea pig. So people are
kind.
Okay. See, that wasn't so hard, was it? Well, who else should I ask? People are Gavin. Since you were looking down.
Yeah.
People are, yeah. All right. Sometimes that's true. Dennis, people are
enlightening.
Enlightening. You people are all kind. Let's see. Stephanie, people are
interesting.
Interesting. There you go. All right. Gwen, people are
friendly.
Friendly. You people are all nice. Let's see. Is anybody here grumpy this morning? Nobody's gonna admit they're grumpy this morning. Brad, you like to tease me. You say people are
crazy.
Crazy. There you go. Hey, you know what? That's true. Sometimes people are crazy. Sometimes people are crazy like me. I was trying to do two Sundays in one day. But people are all different kinds of things. Have you ever wondered, how would God answer that question? If you asked God this morning, if we asked God this morning, and we said, hey, God, people are, what do you think God would respond? How do you think God would respond? What would his word be when he describes who people are? Because I checked, all of us here this morning are people, right? We're all people. We're all people who live in this world. And there's all kinds of people who live in the world around us. Some of those people we see eye to eye with on a lot of things. Other people in this world we don't see eye to eye with on very many things. And I think we can always figure out people that we've seen eye to eye with on some things and people that we haven't seen eye to eye with on some things. And we have relationships with people. But how does God view all of us in general? How would God say, or what would God say? People are, let's look at what his finish to that sentence might be. The first finish to the sentence, there's three things we're going to look at this morning as we look at these three scripture passages together. The first one is this. I think God in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 would say, people are packed with potential. Do you agree with that? Would God say that human beings, people are packed with potential? In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that God makes human beings, both male and female. And there's something amazing that is stated after God makes that revelation that he created both men and women. And he says that he created us in his image. What does that mean to you to know that you are created in the image of God? Think about what that means to you personally. The fact that you have been created in the image of God. Now, the other thing I want you to think about, and you can look around. It's okay. You don't all have to look at me. I'm not that good looking. But think about then how other people around you are created in the image of God. Okay? You thinking about that? How you're created in the image of God, and you are precious, and you're beautiful. And the people around you are created in the image of God. Now I'm going to ask us to do something even more difficult, okay? Think about the people that you have trouble with, that you get frustrated with quickly. Those people are created in the image of God. That's why God says people are packed with potential. And I want us to just imagine for a moment. We can't gloss over this fact that every human being is created in the image of God. It's a big deal. But think about it. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? What does it mean? Well, we're reflections then, if we're created in the image of God, we're reflections of God's glory. And we have the ability to reflect, and we have the potential to reflect God's character. Well, what is God's character? Well, God gives us this great list of character traits that Christians are supposed to reflect, that believers in God are supposed to reflect. Because of people in the world, we're supposed to be the greatest reflectors because we live our lives closely to God, right? So what is this list? It's called the fruits of the Spirit, and there's a number of them, and this is the list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So if we want to know the character traits of God that he's passed on to us in his image, it is those nine things. And we're supposed to reflect those things to others, to the world around us. And that's what it means, partially, to be created in the image of God. Those are the practical things that you and I see. Don't make the mistake of thinking that being created in the image of God means that we physically look like God. That's not what the Bible is stating us, because look around. There is not an identical twin in the bunch here this morning, is there? We don't look like each other. And I know a lot of you are saying, we're glad we don't look like the preacher, right? There's a lot of us that look differently. Now, there's some similarities. I mean, if you look at my family and you look at my wife and you look at my kids, you can see similarities in them. They all look like each other. We're not sure where I came from, but they all look like each other. You look at family groups in our church and you can see similarities in the family groups. Even sometimes in the way family groups interact and act with others, you see similarities, similar personalities in people. That's not how we reflect God. We reflect God not in a physical, visual way, but more in how we live our lives, the potential that God has planted within each of us. We have this potential to share love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These traits provide us a solid base to understand who you and I have been created to be and what the image of God looks like. So as packed with potential image bearers, we find something else significant happening here in Genesis chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles open, you can look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 again, and you'll see something there that maybe we skipped when I read it. And you know, we read that God formed men from the dust of the ground and breathed life into their nostrils. And they became a living being. But I want us to think about what is happening there. What does it mean to form something? Do you know? If I asked you to form something, what would it entail? So if I asked a young person to form something out of Legos, how would they form something out of Legos? What would be a basic requirement to form something out of Legos? Anybody, this is open to anybody to answer.
Legos.
What?
They would need the Legos.
Yeah, you got to have Legos. There's another thing we need. So we got Legos. The next thing we need to make something out of Legos or form something out of Legos is what? An idea. Okay. Third thing, basic thing, you can't do anything with the Legos or an idea if you don't use these. Hands, that's right, Larry. Use your hands. So if we have an idea, God had an idea. If we have the building blocks, God had the building blocks. What was the building blocks of human, men and women? Dirt, right? We're made out of dirt. That's good to know, isn't it? So don't worry, moms, when your kids have dirty fingers. They're just playing in what they're made out of. It's okay. So we're made out of dirt. And then God shapes us with his hands. Think about that. God made us, formed us physically with his hands. Now think about how God has shaped you, how God has made you, how God has personally touched your life. You've been shaped, made, formed by God. Isn't that amazing, folks? God made us, every one of us. He was personally involved in our creation. It wasn't like the animals, and God said, let there be beasts that roam along the ground, and it was so. And God made light, and he said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? But here, when we get to us, to human beings, God forms us. God uses his hands. He takes the dust of the earth and he shapes it and forms us. And it doesn't stop there. The next thing that God does is he uses his breath and he breathes life into us. Do we wonder why we're packed with potential? I don't. If God has taken the time to shape us and form us with his hands and he's breathed life into us with his breath, how could we not be packed with potential? How could we not be filled with the things of God? How could we not be in God's image? We have all been intentionally designed, folks, by God. That makes me feel pretty good. Does it make you feel pretty good to know that you were intentionally designed by God? And every human being, not just you, but every human being has been intentionally designed by God. I think it's important for us to understand the unique nature that is in all of us. In fact, the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 6. I'm going to read you the answer to question 6. It's good for us to hear. God created them good and in his own image. That is, in true righteousness and holiness, so that they might truly know God, their creator, love him with all their heart, and live with him in eternal happiness for his praise and glory. That was God's plan, his design. We all are packed with potential. We all have the ability to truly know God, to be loved by God, and to love God with all of our heart. And look at that, for eternal happiness and joy, for God's praise and for God's glory. So God would answer the question, people are packed with potential. But I don't think he would stop there, because God is fully aware of everything that goes on. In fact, God isn't going to hide truth from us. There's more to this answer. The next part of this answer, as God says people are, he's going to be honest, folks. And you're not going to like what the next part is. People are sinful. Not because God created us to be sinful. You can see, if you read in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll find out that God didn't create us sinful. He packed us with potential. He gave us everything that is good. In fact, he pronounced us good after he formed us from the dust of the ground and breathed life into us. But again, God isn't going to hide the truth from you and I. And we find out in Scripture, just shortly after Genesis chapter 2, the sad story of sin. But where did all this sin and evil come from? I mean, we were created good, right? But people have become disobedient. We have become disobedient. Every one of us here this morning has this in common. We've all been hurt. We've all been disappointed, and we've all been mistreated by people. This is a painful and frustrating reality that you and I are faced with. Because humanity made a choice. We made the choice to sin. We chose evil over good. And we've all made that choice. Maybe there's some of us that like to point the finger at poor Adam and Eve, the first two people that were formed and created. But we've all made the same choice. Every one of us here has chosen to sin when we've known that it was wrong. We've gone ahead and still done it. It's so disappointing for us to realize that we often do what we know we should not do. And for me, there's nothing worse than letting down people because of my words and because of my actions. I remember as a little kid, I got spanked, probably a lot, but that's because I had two sisters and their goal in life was to get me in trouble. But I got spanked often. And then one day I got older. And I learned lessons along the way, but I got to the point where I guess I was too big to spank. And then something worse happened. My parents let me know when I did something wrong that I disappointed them. Oh, how I wish I could have been spanked. Because see, when you get spanked, it's an immediate pain and then it's all over with. And then you can go on. You've paid the penalty. You've paid the price, right? You've been disciplined. You've been set on a different path, and it's just that moment. But disappointment doesn't go away that quick. Disappointment is harder to deal with. And let's face it, sin is a disappointment to our Heavenly Father because we've chosen to go the way we ought not to go. And when we let each other down and we disappoint others, that is hard to take. It's hard to realize that we have hurt somebody and disappointed them. I mean, we are basically good. The Bible tells us, hey, you were created good. We had all this potential, but we ruined it, and now we're not basically good. We're born into sin, and we choose to sin each and every day. So this worldly belief that, yeah, most people are good, and then there's some not so good people. No, we're not mostly good. We're mostly sinful now. Because we've all chosen to sin. It doesn't matter what your sin is. There is no levels to sin. There's not kind of sin and real bad sin. It's all real bad. It's all wrong. It all is disappointing. It all lets people down. It all hurts others. There is no sin that doesn't hurt anybody else. There is a price for all sin. It's all brokenness. So we're not basically good. We're all sinners. So what do we do? Where did all this sin and evil come from? Why do we have this natural tendency to sin? Sin is a big problem, and it's the root cause of what's wrong in our world today. Everywhere you find somebody that's hurting or frustrated, you'll find someone affected by sin. The Catechism, question and answer 7, points out that the fall has so poisoned our nature, it says, that we're born sinners, corrupt from conception on. So like I said, it's a huge mistake for us to believe that maybe people are inherently good, because we're not. Because humanity has chosen over and over and over again to sin. People are more than capable of doing horrendous and awful things. Our world is filled with hurt and pain and suffering of all kinds. And all of it is caused by people's choices. The story of sin is heartbreaking. It shows that we have freely chosen to do what isn't good. It's fighting against the way that we've been created. And the Bible reminds us that we've been bought with a price. I want us to think about that. Where did sin come from? Sin came from all of our choice to do it. It was a human choice. We wanted to be in control. We wanted to be in charge. We wanted to make our own decisions. We wanted what we wanted. What was best for us instead of what's best for others. So we're the cause. The root is in us, not in God. But God solves all of this. He has an answer. He sees that our problem is sin. He sees that we are in bondage to this sin. And he reminds us that we have been bought with a price. There is a way out, and that is the good news. And that good news is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this is where God comes in, and he hits the home run, and he says, "People are loved by me." People are loved by God. In spite of all of the decisions we made, in spite of all the wrong things that we have done. Remember the story I told you about me getting spanked a lot as a kid? And then one day I got too big, and then I began to start disappointing my parents. How did I know I was forgiven? How did I know there was hope for me? It's when I began to experience the fact that my parents still loved me. That their disappointment wasn't greater than their love for me. Same is true with God. Look what God does. John 3 verse 3. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at that. Look at what God does. Here we have Jesus talking to us. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How do we become born again? We believe in the one that God has sent, right? Jesus Christ. Jesus came to set us free, not to condemn us. God had the answer, people, to our problem. God created us with all this potential. He realizes that we've chosen sin. We've chosen to go the wrong way. And in spite of all of that, God says, "I'm going to solve people's problems. I love them so much. I'm going to send them my son, and he's going to die on a cross for their sins. He's going to give them a way out so that we can have a good relationship again, so that they once again can live with me, but not just for a time, but for all eternity." And he tells Nicodemus, Jesus does here in John chapter 3, that we must be born again. Born of the Spirit, by the way. Not physically born again, but born of the Spirit. We must be changed. We must be renewed. So what's not going to change is our physical being, but our spiritual being is going to be born again. We're going to be made new. What good news we have. And how do we know? How do we see? We see the evidence in people's lives. When we have been born again, we begin to see some things change in how people live and carry out their everyday lives. We return once again to these people who are packed with potential, who can engage in living in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And guess what? Those aren't for picking and choosing. It's not like today I decided I'm going to be filled with joy, but I'm not doing the other eight. I can't be having a day of gentleness and refusing to engage in the rest. When we're born again, we're packed with this potential. Once that potential is unleashed, and we begin to live out these nine ways of living in the Spirit. And they're not a pick and choose. They're all the time coming out of us when we're born again. Our hearts and attitudes change, and we are renewed day after day after day, and we begin to reflect the image of God in our lives. Now, how do we do that? How are we reflecting the image of God? How are we reflecting the image of God so that the world can experience Christ in and through us? I want us to think about that question. How are we living in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control? So many people in our world today are upset. They're upset with the way our world is, the way things are going on. I mean, think about it. We're frustrated because we're surrounded by death and terror and suffering and pain. We see our freedoms being taken away day after day after day. Trust and community are disappearing on the landscape of every town and every area in the world today. People look at each other as suspect. They don't know if they can trust one another any longer. And we begin to close into our own little world. I'd invite all of you to join me sometime when I go driving around in communities. We can do this. I'd love to do that. If you ride with me just through towns here in Steen, Hills, we'll go wherever, Laverne. And you can join with me in laughter. We'll laugh together. You know why? Because we're going to drive around town in the residential areas, and every house we see with the front porch, we're going to laugh. We're going to laugh because nobody sits on their porch. Nobody's out in the yard. We're all closed in our little shell, and we're playing on our device. And then we're going to go somewhere in public, and we can laugh together there, too, because we're going to see a bunch of people, and they're all sitting around tables. Go to a restaurant sometime. Watch people. They're all sitting there. They're not talking. They're on their deal. That's what I call it now, their deal. You know, I forgot my deal the other day. It was great. I left that thing at home. No one could get a hold of me. No one did, thankfully. There wasn't any real big needs, but I got to thinking, oh, I don't have my deal. What if somebody needs me? That's all I could think about. And then I got to thinking, wait a minute. Maybe somebody's going to need me. I have more value than just life on this thing. Folks, we've got to start walking out. We've got to start living our lives. We've got to start being around other people. We've got to rebuild the trust. We've got to rebuild community. Because that's part of the potential that God packed with us. That's part of sharing God's love with the world around us. The only way we can regain what has been lost is start living into the image that God has put in us. If we start embracing the fact that God has formed us with his hands, that he's breathed life into our being, then we will live in the image of God. Isn't that exciting? You and I can leave this morning packed with potential because we can go out and we can live and be God's image in this world that he loves so much. Let's change the tide. It all starts here. It all starts with us being willing to leave our homes and go talk to our neighbor and leave our device behind and build relationships. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so glad that in your view, people are loved. People are worth everything to you. To risk the life of your own son. And so for us, people, as your people, as those created in your image, the people you created should be worth it to us. Lord, help us to live in that way. We pray this in Jesus' name.